You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Welcome back, Linda. It has been a while.
It has been. Good to see you, Monique.
It's so good to see you. I loved our conversations in the past, and now we're going to be talking about the rest of your journey, where you are now and how you've got there, your upcoming book, Choosing to Breathe. Do I love that topic? Choosing to Breathe. And I just think that this is going to be so helpful for survivors of childhood trauma and these different issues that we deal with who we are and our identity and all of these things that get to kind of get placed onto us that don't belong to us. And how do we manage that? And your books, and I say books because I think there's three now. Am I right?
Right. There's three total.
It's kind of like a continuation of your healing journey. Your first book called The Gathering.
Gathering Place.
The Gathering Place. Maybe you can start by giving the audience a little feel, a little introduction to where you come from in terms of your healing journey and where we're going to see this going.
Okay, well, it has been a journey and it continues to be a journey. Just like all of us, we're never done. And, you know, I'm kind of happy that that's the way it is because it brings me joy now that there's always something to become more liberated from, and there's always another space inside me to expand. So really, my journey took off when I started putting pen to paper and felt like I had a story to write. And a lot of my story involves being an adoptee because it has shaped and formed my entire life. I don't know what it's like not to be an adopted person. So that's my point of reference. And when I felt so compelled to start writing it, and one thing led to another of where the writing led me to heal more and get more counseling. Through that counseling, I was able to figure out how to tell my first story of The Gathering Place, an adoptee story. I was just able to visualize what I wanted to say. And then once I finished that book, I had this big thought of, I'm not finished. I have more to say. And there was one particular episode that was really life-changing for me. And I felt like I needed to do a cautionary tale to not only my adoptee community, but just people in general of when they seek therapy, make sure that they are giving their efforts to a therapist that doesn't have a private agenda and make sure they're in safe hands. So that's what my second book is all about, which led me to, after that second book, I thought I was done. And then I thought, oh no, I've got more to say. So the third book is called Choosing to Breathe. And that may sound funny to people because we all know how to breathe. It's an involuntary thing we do. But I'm using that term as symbolically of not only the way you can intentionally fully breathe, but also as kind of a metaphor of life, of a journey to become more human. And the mindset that I now have to realize that I have choices. I didn't have choices when I was younger. None of us did. But now to realize and have the awareness that I can do a pivot and go a different direction. That's what Choosing to Breathe is about becoming more authentic, shedding the old skin, and going a different direction that I feel more aptly describes who and what my spirit has always been, but I forgot who that was. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
The healing journey is exactly that. When you said, I finished my second book, I realized I have more to say. So in other words, there's more growth. There's more happening. You use the word space. And I love that because a lot of us feel constricted in our bodies, tight. And when you say space, I kind of imagining like a softening, which lets the good stuff in, the new stuff in, the better stuff. Happy stuff, the joyful stuff. And we continue growing. We're going to continue being on this journey. Maybe for the audience, we can talk first just a bit about your first book, The Gathering Place. And gathering, why did you give it that title, The Gathering Place?
Well, there is a definite reason. And I guess I'll start with the cover of the book shows a big old oak tree on a grassy hill, and you see the clouds in the sky. It's a very inviting place. I took that picture with me to my first counseling session with my EMDR certified counselor. I'm a very visual person, so I was saying, look, this is what speaks to me. And then that led to, before us doing EMDR, she was saying, before we start, I want you to think of a safe place that if you have any stress or, feel unsafe, that you would go to that place and it would calm and soothe you. And I said, well, I've got that place. I showed you the picture. And so that's really how it all started with EMDR, I would say, is the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. I think of that as you know how some people will get a drug-induced therapy session or something to have revelations? Well, I choose not to do that route. For me, MDR opens my head up and I see like a movie of all these possibilities. I get very creative when I do the EMDR process, which led to the next stage that I can tell you about if you want to continue on that route. I made the cover of my first book. I felt depicted exactly the way I felt, and I was drawn to it. And that became what I labeled the gathering place. It was where I wanted to go and start my journey.
One of the therapies that was super helpful for you, which you just mentioned, EMDR, but it was with a combination of internal family systems, IFS, parts work. Is that right?
That's correct. Right.
Yes. And so is that what you did in your first phase of therapy?
Yes. So back to my therapy session, I've got the handheld pulsers that are stimulating my right and left brain. And the whole idea is to move trauma that is unresolved in your body and try to get it stored in the proper, correct place. And just that pulsing sensation put me in a meditative state. So then the prompts that my counselor gave me was like, if I expressed, I feel afraid, I'm just kind of throwing that out there. And she would say, her prompts would be something like, how old do you feel right now? And so then that led me to think internally which part of me was talking with her at that moment. And then that led to another prompt of, what would that part like to say to you right now? And so then my imagination just went on and on about what would this person, this part look like? What would they say? How would they dress? And so I got really excited because I started thinking and I saw clearly how to tell my story instead of it reading like a diary. You know, I did this when I was 5. I did this when I was 12. It became like how to weave my whole life story, the things that I felt I wanted to say, through visiting my parts that I invited to come to the gathering place. And I was hoping that it would be really engaging for the reader. It was engaging for me. So I was hoping that it would be for someone else too.
I remember that very well. We all would like to be able to engage with those parts that have been in those experiences where they felt, for example, completely alone, devastated, and how we would like to speak with them. When you would speak with them, would you be speaking to them as yourself now?
Yes. In the beginning, I think my part was in the room. My counselor would say, would that part like to come into the room with us? And then she might say, you can have a protector in the room if you'd like also. And so that part would, and I felt my whole physical being change and be that part, whichever age I was, and speak with the fears and the concerns that, and the beliefs that, you know, because those parts are frozen in time, as you know. And they need to be updated. So once I started really understanding that, then myself did come, my adult self. And I was able to say, I am so proud of you for the things that you did that kept us safe at that age. And I want you to know that you are carrying burdens that you should never have carried. And what would you think if I carried the heavy load now? But you could always just be right there close with me. And I want to hear your story. And I want to give you a new part to play. And then I asked them, what would you rather be doing? You know, like be a child, right? Instead of being a parentified child or, yeah, having to worry about my parents' emotional health. It was never that part's job to do.
I'm so interested in the therapy part because it sounds like it was so helpful for you. When I hear about EMDR, I don't always hear it mixed with other therapies, but I have heard, I remember it was Robin Shapiro, who I think she's the creator of ego state therapy. She does a lot of interstate ego state work with child states. And she was saying that just using EMDR alone, we really need other, you know, we need to be using other part of therapies with it, in IFS or ego state. And I, from my experience, I think that is really true. If you're just doing EMDR, what happens when you have the parts that come up? And I love that you're able to then dialogue with them. Where I'm not quite so sure with just EMDR, do you do that?
Yeah, I think I might have focused on the intense pain instead of being it multidimensional.
Yes, yes, I've heard so much about EMDR and I've heard great things about it. And I've heard not so great things about it. So I think that we have to be open to finding out that there could be different ways of the way people practice it. Because yeah, you could get caught in intense emotional, like you said, stimulation that could overwhelm your system.
Yeah, and relive it instead of looking at it like slightly in front of you instead of having to be re-traumatized.
And to be able to have that opportunity to go back as your adult self in a loving way is just beautiful. So how have you felt like that has helped you?
Well, when you put pen to paper and you have to physically put words to define a part and what they look like, what they'd say. And I tried to be as authentic and honest with myself as possible. I wasn't just making things up for a good story. You know what I mean? It had to resonate with me. And the craft of and the art of writing is to be as accurate as you can and to visualize that part. And really, that helped me identify what was going on, what has always been going on inside me. And it just brought it more clarity. And then the next level is when you record your own book and you have to speak your words. And that's a whole nother level of healing, I think. Because when I grew up, I had a brick in my throat, meaning everything was down and I couldn't speak my truth and I didn't know how to get it out. And so now to be able to have that fully open and I'm integrating with my emotions, body, spirit, and soul, everything, that kind of healing through writing that story and all, you know, the other two that followed was just amazing.
You used the word liberation
before we started recording.
I just love that. And so having that opportunity to really use your voice and be heard is amazing. What drew you now to realizing, hey, I've got more to say?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I have
my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better. Like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Want to tell us about that?
Well, when I realized that I needed to tell the second book, it's a cautionary tale, and I touch on it in the first book, but I don't come out with everything. I didn't explore it. I didn't give my own self the space to explore it completely. And part of writing these books selfishly is for my own healing. And through that, I'm hoping other people can read their own story through mine. But that's why I had to write the second one, not only for me to explore it completely. And so once I started writing it, it just, you know, came out of me. It didn't take a long time. First book was 2021. Second one was 2023, maybe. Yeah, it's just a knowingness within my body because I'm on this path. I've agreed to this mindset. So these days, I look through a lens of even when I don't want to do something, I remind myself, you know, with grace and comfort that, you said that you want to go this direction. So I know this might be hard, but it follows suit with health. You wanted to go towards health. So let's do it. And that's why I try to do everything I am doing currently in my present day life is if I've got a fear, that means I need to lean into it.
It's interesting. I had on another podcast, a psychologist, Dr. Ingrid Clayton, was talking about, I can ask ourselves this question, is it discomfort or is it dangerous? And I think the idea of stepping into something that's not familiar automatically will be it's dangerous. But I love the idea of stepping back and saying, well, it's discomfort. And can we tolerate discomfort to go towards what we really, really want to do? Or are we going to stay back, stay small, not be seen? I appreciate what you're saying. There's almost what I hear is almost like there's this part of you now that's like a cheerleader or an encourager, which I really like.
I also call it wisdom. I finally decided to listen. Really, what helped me is, have I been telling myself an incorrect story all my life? And I'm acting as though it's true. When if I really sat down, which I did, and I tell you, I unraveled everything I thought I knew about myself, about the world, about God, about everything. And I had a catalyst that brought me to that fork in the road, which I'm very grateful for. But it helped me understand that you've got to challenge these thoughts that come into your head, or what society tells you, you should do this, or your parents told you, you should do that. Wait a minute. No, I don't. And so it's really helped me just shake that old skin off and decide that I get to have choice now of what I feel is true and speak it out freely.
Yes. And that is really part of the healing journey or the PTSD growth. It is not easy. Again, I had this conversation before with Ingrid, and it can be terrifying, but it's necessary if we want to really honor who we are and come back to the way that we were designed before. It's going to sound cheesy, but before the world told us who we are.
I found to be true is the momentum that I started gaining was bigger than my fear.
Tell us about that.
Well, that once I was able to put anxiety, would you mind sitting over here for a moment? And then I was filled with creativity and curiosity, and all of the things that make me who I am got back in touch with who that was. And I realized that anxiety and fear was just clouding my windshield, and it would block off any of what my new mindset would be. So that makes me really want to dismantle more and more and more, rewire. And so that gave me momentum to keep going in towards health.
My gosh, that's incredible. And you're right, because that is what happens. It cripples us. We remain in freeze or in like this shutdown.
Yeah.
And then that blocks this creativity that wanted to express itself. And so was it uncomfortable for you having to step out of what's familiar?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was awkward and messy and inconvenient. And I lost some people in my life that would always stand beside me, you know? And I had to be okay with that too, because truth became my priority instead of false. I used to think love was a trauma bond because that's what I grew up with. And once I figured out that that's not love at all, and love means freedom, that you want someone to be just as free as the next person and the next person. And once I was able to see some of these concepts a lot more clear, even though it was messy and it was awkward and it was difficult, it really helped me plow through because I really wanted to. And I'm still doing it every day. And I have all these modalities that I really have been helpful for me. And in the new book, there's a whole chapter dedicated to some of the books and the research and the people that the ideologies that have really, you know, I just have taken all of it and tried to make it part of my new mindset and a way to get to know myself better. Because I really truly believe that it all starts with the relationship you have with yourself.
I think that's what happens when we have trauma. The development of the self gets pushed to the side because we're just on survival. There's no time to figure out, what do I like? What do I want? It's like, I want to be safe. That's basically it. I want to be alive. So a lot of us are coming back to who we are and what do I like later in life as we are on this trauma healing journey.
Yeah. And I like to think of it as post-traumatic growth. We've been throwing that around lately in circles, and it really appeals to me because it does a euphoria.
So who do you think this book would be for?
Definitely to bring back up being an adoptee, I think it would be excellent for hopeful adoptive parents, for them to hear from an adoptee and really consider the things that the life experiences that an adoptee goes through each developmental stage, and how we're going to be trying to do that Rubik's Cube the rest of our lives, of how that affects us and how what we think about, you know, the sense of identity. Everyone kind of grapples with their sense of identity, but I say that for an adoptee, that we start so behind that it takes us a lot longer to catch up, even with a normal identity crisis, because there's so many more layers. So I really think that adoptees would benefit because they might see their own story. And especially this third one, because it's a book of hope. It's a book of telling you, you know, how to get out of the box you're in if you really, really want to, and start being the person that you feel like you want to be. And I think it would do well in mainstream. And that's why I always like talking with you, Monique, because your podcast, the others that I'm on, are more adoptee community. But you're mainstream. And the more I can get a message like this out to mainstream, and maybe someone to hear about the adoptee experience, because it's becoming sort of a hot topic right now of hopeful adoptive parents. And if they understand that a child, it should be child-centered instead of parents that are wanting to build their family. Needs to be child-centered, and that adoption starts with trauma. The severing from our mothers sets in motion that our nervous system is not developing at the normal rate. And there may be symptoms and problems throughout an adoptee's lifespan if they don't come to terms with all this and have help, you know, in the awareness that it's needed. And adoptive parents need to be on board with that. That's my hope. And that's what my community's hope is.
Are there trainings right now, hopefully, on this topic with organizations that help adoptive parents?
Well, I'm sure there are more than there ever have been. But I think it's still the narrative of adopting a child is that it's all happiness and you should be grateful. And isn't this wonderful? The gotcha day of when, you know, you first came to our family. I think that too many people don't understand that there's so much more to it. There's so much nuance. And until that is really, you know, in Hollywood, they don't tell the full story. It's usually just that happy story instead of, yeah, but there's other stuff too. It can be beautiful. But even the most beautiful adoption, still, it starts with trauma, and that adoptee is going to need a lot of help.
Even if somebody would like to know more about the healing journey from trauma, your adoptive mother was, if I remember correctly, she had some narcissistic tendency. Living with a mom like that is traumatic, not to mention the adoption. So I think people that, even if they weren't adopted, but they have a complex trauma childhood background, they could really relate to your story of trying to figure out who you are, your identity, coming back to parts of yourself and reparenting them or connecting with them. And just like that whole journey, I think, can really help them. I find when we hear other people's stories, it helps us.
I so agree. And there's no better compliment than when I hear someone saying, hey, I created my own gathering place. And now I'm talking to my parts. And I think that's so wonderful and beautiful.
Love that too. And this might be familiar for therapists who are listening, or even those who are in therapy, where there is some kind of practice that you do where you imagine all your parts either on a bus or all your parts together around a table. So when you talk about the gathering place, it's just having them there with you and connecting with them and dialoguing.
Right. And as you know, when we don't listen to our younger parts, they just scream louder. I'm out in present day. I think maybe that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that if you see someone acting irrational or unregulated, more than likely that's coming from a very young, unresolved place in them. And it helps us understand behaviors a lot better. It helps me understand, okay, who's talking right now? It's a very young spot in me. And so I'm able to probably make better decisions and better behaviors now because of being so in tune with it. It's been so helpful. We can't go back in time and we can't correct all the injustices that happened to us, but we can take care of them presently and celebrate them and thank them and welcome them. I always say, all my parts are welcome, but maladaptive behaviors are not. So that's the way I'm able to, distinguish between those two, but not the.
I'm an audiobook lover. I do read as well. My first choice would usually be listening. So of course, I'm going to want to listen to this book. When is your book going to be out?
I am also an Audible listener or audiobook, and I can read so many more books now because I'm in the car or getting ready in the morning. My audiobook on Audible is already live. The book, the paperback or hardback, is available on September 9th.
Wonderful.
I'm excited. To share it, you know, because it is a book of hope.
So is there any last thing that you want to say before we close the conversation?
I would say just please keep challenging the stories that you tell yourself and ask if that is even true. And what story would you rather tell?
So good. So good. Thank you, Linda. And what I'll do is I'm going to put a link to all three of your books because they were all great. I know we didn't talk about the second one, but the audience, you can go back and we recorded, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, I'm not sure, but it was a fantastic interview about her story. I'm not going to say much, but it's the kind of book that, or story that really is, you can't put it down. But there's a lot to learn there. And, a lot of healing from that as well. Both her interviews you can find on anywhere there's podcasts.
Thank you, Monique. So great to be here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.